on Triple J. This is a warning. Explicit content on your radio for the next half hour.
He was watching porn twice an afternoon to three times an afternoon, and his wants and his urges were mimicking what he was watching. It made me uncomfortable at the point where he was asking me to do somewhat demeaning and demoralising acts. And it was to the point where it would have to be pretty well reenactment. He could not separate reality from fantasy.
Tracy was in that relationship for 5 years. Eventually, she had to get out of it because she couldn't handle her boyfriend's porn-inspired sexual desires. Today on the show, you're going to meet US-based author Gail Dines. She says she meets hundreds of women in Tracy's situation. She's calling for a boycott of porn because she says it's destroying our sex lives. What do you think?
We need to do something and stop this.
Everyone does have their own views.
We can't just change the world by shopping.
Definitely something that you should relish.
Hello, Tom Tilley with you for Hack. Have you used a fair bit of hardcore porn? Did it make you start expecting the wild stuff you were seeing in the pornos to start happening in your real sex life? Or if you're the partner of someone who's watched a lot of hardcore porn, have you been pushed to do things that you didn't feel comfortable doing? Give us a call.
Hack 1300 055 36. Text 0439 757 555.
In a moment, you'll hear from the Australian author of a massive study into porn, and you'll also hear from someone that represents the porn industry in Australia, and a sexologist who's meeting a lot of young men who are struggling to orgasm during real-life sex. Okay, it's time for you to meet the woman at the centre of this debate. Gail Dines is a Boston-based sociologist who's written a book called Pornland, How Porn Has Hijacked Our Sexuality. She's in Australia at the moment. She's been speaking at the Sydney Writers Festival and other events. And if you saw her on Q&A this week, you know she's creating a bit of a stir. She says gonzo porn, as she terms it, is causing young men to expect demeaning and sometimes violent sex from their partners. There's a language warning on this interview.
I'm talking about the porn that sells the most. The industry said it's the most profitable, and it's called gonzo porn. And that porn is the body-punishing, cruel, brutal, violent porn, which has basically images of women being choked with penises, women being slapped, women being called, you know, terrible names, spat upon. And that's pretty much, if you type porn into Google, that's what you come up with. What I'm realising is many of the women, when I talk about porn, are thinking of Playboy, you know, a sort of centrefold with a naked woman smiling in a cornfield somewhere. Whenever I go and lecture the young men, of course, know exactly what I'm talking about because they're using it all the time.
So how is this porn influencing them?
It's really reshaping masculinity and sexuality. What I found in my interviews and what studies of over 30 years have found is that the more porn men use, the more they believe the porn story. Now, that might seem ridiculous at first because porn is so overblown and so caricatured, but actually the more you watch it, the more you think, first of all, many of the men think that they are going to perform like the porn performers. What they don't understand is these men have Viagra-fortified penises. They think their girlfriends are going to have screaming orgasms and they're disappointed with their girlfriends' responses. And it gets to the point often where you become disappointed with real sex because it's vanilla and bland compared to the industrial strength sex that you've been masturbating to.
But do people that watch this sort of porn necessarily want to take that into the bedroom? Isn't porn a fantasy and the bedroom reality?
Except that doesn't seem to stand up in studies. Right, yes. I mean, you would think that. But, you know, for the example, just let's take advertising. You know, we know that advertising shapes consumer behaviour because we wouldn't have advertising if it didn't. So if advertising can shape consumer behaviour, why can't pornography shape sexual behaviour? It's the same idea that images shape the way you think about
the
world.
But these pictures are ridiculous. You're talking about triple anal sex and crazy kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Do people really let that influence what happens when they go home to their girlfriends or partners?
Well, there was a recent study done at New York University and they asked students, what's the one sex act you haven't done that you'd really like to do? And 80% of the men interviewed said ejaculate on the face. Where do you think they get that idea from? And I can tell you from having, you know, interviewing young women and from having students, absolutely, these men bring those ideas into the bedroom. They want to play out porn sex on their girlfriends' bodies.
Are you saying they see their girlfriends the same as they see the women in the porn?
No, it's not the same, but what happens is there's a kind of bleeding in from the porn imagery into real life. It doesn't mean to say, I want to make this clear, that the average guy is going to look at gonzo porn, you know, that body-punishing, brutal sex. He's not going to turn into a rapist, right? That's not how it works. What it is going to do is it, on some level, it is going to shape the way he thinks about himself, the way he thinks about women, the way he thinks about sexuality, and it is going to play out in real life. On some level, in very subtle, nuanced ways.
From your studies, what proportion of men are watching this violent kind of porn?
Well, let me tell you not my studies. Let me talk about the porn industry. What they say is that the majority of men, when masturbating alone, are using that gonzo porn. That they'll use the less violent porn in order...
Of all men that use porn, or yes, all men that masturbate?
No, all men that use porn, which I would say, in my experiences lecturing across the country, for young men in college, I say we're getting close to 90 to 95% of men using porn. The vast majority of those men are using gonzo porn. That's the industry, not me.
But they'd have an interest in making those figures as large as possible.
Yeah, but, you know, it's very hard to track. How do you track those kinds of things? I mean, for the internet is almost impossible to track. I mean, they're improving in their research. You know, I go to the conventions and I go to a lot of their seminars, and they're really trying to improve their tracking and statistics. But ultimately, you know, it is a runaway train.
What proportion of guys that are using this gonzo porn do you think try and force that onto their real-life sex partners?
Let me say this. There's no way anyone can answer that without a massive empirical study. What I can tell you from my experiences of interviewing young women, and also what happened at the Sydney Writers' Festival, which was very interesting, there was a panel on called The Porn Wars about women fighting over pornography, and there was three kind of pro-porn women and me. And the pro-porn women were trying to argue that, you know, I'm exaggerating, it's no big deal. And in fact, what happened, there was kind of a revolution in the room where young women stood up and were really upset with the other three women for ignoring the reality of their lives. And these young women stood up and said, you know what, this is my life she's talking about, this is what the men want, I know this is happening because I'm experiencing it. So the reality is, and I is that this is happening, and the feminist movement, I think, has to kind of get on board and understand this is the life of many young women, not all young women, but a good enough percentage that we need to do something about it.
What is that reality for young women? How do they see it?
Okay, their boyfriends want anal sex and rough anal sex. Their boyfriends insist that they do full bikini waxes because they can't bear pubic hair, because they've been masturbating to images of women with no pubic hair. Their boyfriends want to ejaculate on their face. They want threesomes, all these kind of stuff. And also what the women tell me is, like, they can pretty much tell when their boyfriends are using porn because he kind of disconnects from them. And let me put it this way. The best thing I ever heard was a young man interviewed on television, and they said to him, how do you think porn affected you? You know what he said? He said, it taught me how to masturbate into a woman. And that's what I hear from my students. They feel like their boyfriends are masturbating into them. So I think men need to stop being defensive about their porn use and to begin to ask themselves, to look in the mirror and say, is this who you really want to be? Do you really want to get off on a woman being choked with a penis, being slapped and being called a cum dumpster? Is this who you want to be as a human being? And do you think this is really good for you?
Dr. Gail Dines, thanks for joining us on Hack today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Hack with Tom Tilley on Triple J.
You heard from 20-year-old Tracy right at the top of the show, and she can certainly relate to what Gail Dines is talking about there, at least some of it. Let's hear a bit more about how her boyfriend's porn habits affected their relationship.
He was watching porn twice an afternoon to three times an afternoon, and I started to notice, well, not what you would say normal sexual behaviour, and it came from his viewing of more aggressive and more demeaning pornographic images. Hi, my name's Tracy. I'm 20 years old and from the east coast of Australia. My relationship started with my ex-partner when I was quite considerably young. He was about 5 years older than me, and for about 6 to 8 months was okay. It was what you would call a normal sex relationship. Well, at the start, I didn't quite know he was watching porn, but as our relationship developed, I got to know him better, and he let me into that side. He got his material from online porn, streaming. He had a considerably large DVD collection, and that's where majority of his influences came from. As it grew on, I started to watch material as well, as relationships do, and as I was watching them with him and everything, I noticed his wants and his urges were mimicking what he was watching, and it made me uncomfortable at the point where he was asking me to do somewhat demeaning and demoralising acts, things that were irregular, things that were more fantasy than reality. It was to the point where it would have to be pretty well reenactment. He could not separate reality from fantasy. He was watching porn quite intensely. He was quite addicted to it. For him to be able to actually get off, he would force it onto me. It was a real big part of his life. As he got desensitized to what he was doing, he wanted something newer, and then he wanted more and more, and we had discussions about him maybe getting rid of it, like not storing so much, or maybe trying some different, in a sense of not as demeaning or not as adverse sexual fantasies, but it never came to fruition. He just kept on that path, and that just was his focus. I stayed with him for a while just because I thought I could help it. I tried watching it with him, seeing if I can be aroused by the same thing he could. You think you could help, because he wasn't this way at the beginning, so maybe that can change, but it didn't. His pornographic material got more vast, it got worse. He didn't seem to let up. He never wanted normal sex or anything. He wanted the adverse fantasies to be a reality. So it was just a to and from trying to find a balance. But his progression got steadily worse, which made me uncomfortable. So it was either his addiction or trying to have a normal relationship, which it just couldn't be. It does affect how you try and have a relationship with other people, and especially your next partner. It's always, in a sense, in the back of my head. So it does, and it has affected me in my relationships with other men.
20-year-old Tracy speaking to Patrick Abood there.
Hack!
We've got a few texts coming in on 0439 757 555. One person says, my ex wanted extreme pain and cutting inflicted on his genitals. He tried to normalise this by showing me websites that included this behaviour, saying it's just a fetish. He then told me I had issues with sex because I wasn't into it. Someone else says, Gail needs to put her experience into perspective. Millions of people watch porn. Gail's seen a few hundred people with problems. She needs a day job to occupy herself. And someone else says, very true. I'm not right into porn. I'm not a porn addict, but it does raise your expectations. Elizabeth's called in. Elizabeth, you're 22 and you watch a lot of hardcore porn. You say it's helped you.
Yeah. Look, I'm a tertiary educated, well brought up middle class person, and I've never been raped or abused. But since I was very young, I've had sexual fantasies which are violent. Because I've watched hardcore porn, it's made me understand that that is a fetish. I'm into BDSM. And because of that, I've managed to contextualize it and not be too ashamed of it. I view it as a part of who I am, but not the only thing.
Right, okay. That's very interesting. I haven't heard that perspective before. Alicia's on the line. Alicia, your husband's got a porn addiction. How's that affected you?
Well, I agree with a lot of the things that the previous people have said. He certainly doesn't find normal sex exciting. He often now needs to watch porn to get aroused. And he asked me to do things I'm not comfortable with. And we've been together for a very long time, and he knows I'm not comfortable with those things. But certainly after he watches porn, he asks for them again.
So is it driving you guys apart, or have you found a balance?
I think, look, sometimes it's very difficult. It makes me quite upset. And I think he realises that he's got a problem. But, you know, he continues to watch it. And, you know, the men in his family, his brothers and cousins as well, they all share it between each other. It's a cultural thing for them. And they watch them pretty... And at first I had no problem with porn. I didn't think it was an issue until I actually watched some of this stuff. And it's incredibly violent and incredibly demeaning to women.
Okay, Alicia, thanks so much for sharing that with us. Linda Carlisle has joined us in the studio. She's a sex therapist. And some of the stories she's been hearing have been ringing bells with what she hears from her patients. And she also hears about some of the things Gail Dines has been saying. Linda, welcome to Hack.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Great to have you on. Linda, we heard just before Tracy's story, and then we just heard Alicia's story as well. What are you hearing from the male clients about the impact of porn on their sex lives?
Well, often with clients that come in, it's because they're having difficulties in their sex lives, and they don't actually put together that a high level of porn use and regular masturbation can sometimes change expectations around sex. And sometimes they're finding that what happens in the real situation isn't the same as what they're experiencing with porn. They don't have that huge arousal rush from the visual stimulation. Often it's much quieter, they can't see as well, and they're finding difficulties in ejaculating and getting aroused.
What's that doing for their relationships with their sex partners?
Well, most of the time, with any time that, because 95% of the time a man's sex is going to end in an ejaculation, it seems that people have come to expect that it's an inevitability. So it's most of the time partners personalise that they haven't done the right thing, or they're not a turn on for their partner, or they're doing something wrong, when in actual fact it may be just that the guy is not tuned into how to feed his arousal in a situation without having that porn to stimulate him.
Are these guys watching the gonzo kind of stuff that Gail Dines is mostly focusing on?
Yeah, look, it varies. There are guys that are obviously into the hardcore stuff, and when they don't aren't able to experience the same thing with their partners, that creates a problem. But often they are also into the softer stuff, and it will be about a particular girl that they're attracted to. So what I have noticed is that sometimes they'll actually save their ejaculation. They'll masturbate over a long period of time. Excuse me. They'll masturbate over a long period of time, and they'll save their ejaculation for a particular girl or a particular type of scene, which then kind of sets up a pattern that they need that in order to be able to come. So,
yeah, okay. Linda, we'll come back to you in just a moment. You are listening to Hack, and we're talking about whether hardcore porn can really basically tear apart your real life sex life.
Different sides.
We are on different opinions. Yeah, we are on different sides.
You are listening to Hack. I'm Tom Tilley. We've been speaking to the US author Gail Dines, who says a large number of young men are watching gonzo porn, which is often demeaning and sometimes violent towards women. And she says a lot of men want to take that into the bedroom, and it's destroying relationships and our sexuality. A few people have texted in already, 0439 757 555. One person says, "What a one-sided judgment, lady. My girlfriend encourages me to be rougher and dirtier, each to their own." Another person says, "I was told I ruined porn for my partner when I was told is a nice thing. How sweet." And Gus from Adelaide says, "I definitely agree. From conversations I have with my mates, the ones that watch more porn have a very different idea of what they want in the bedroom." You might be listening to this show questioning just how much of the gonzo porn Gail Dines is describing is actually being made and consumed. The porn industry has changed a lot in the day since Debbie Does Dallas, and the internet's had a big part to play. Alan McKee was one of the key investigators of a book called The Porn Report. In a pretty stark contrast to what Gail Dines is saying, he told Alex Mann that gonzo porn is actually quite a small niche.
When we look back to the 1970s, pornography was very masculine. It spoke to men about men's pleasure, and films like Debbie Does Dallas in the 1970s are really quite misogynistic. Nowadays, pornography as a whole is much less misogynistic than it was, simply because there are so many different kinds speaking to so many different people. So there's a lot more pornography aimed at women than aimed at different sexual minorities. A lot of pornography is moving online, and when you look at what people actually look at online, when you actually look at the stats rather than some of the myths or fear-mongering that you might have heard, what people actually like to look at online are overwhelmingly amateur sites. DVD porn now has to cope with the fact that if all you want is cheap and easy girl or boy next door, you can get that for free on the internet. And so because of that, the sales market becomes for niche things that you can't get simply clicking online, and that's things like couples porn. There's also a niche, and I have to emphasise that, a very small minority niche for something that's called gonzo porn. Some people have seen that and they misunderstand that as being the whole of pornography, but it's a minority of a minority. It is a small niche within the sell-through niche within the larger world of pornography. 8 out of the top 10 internet porn websites are amateur websites. The other two are a free porn site and an Indian porn site. There's no violent or rape or gonzo porn in the most popular websites. When you're talking about how amateur pornography is policed, that's by the viewers. And luckily, viewers do not like material which is not consensual. So when we interviewed the consumers of pornography and asked them what they thought were the most important things in good pornography, the top three were attractive actors, people who look like they're genuinely enjoying themselves, and real-looking bodies. It was very clear that watching somebody who doesn't really look like they want to be there is not a turn-on. So consumers are not going to seek out stuff where it looks like people have been drugged or they're not really into it or they haven't really given consent. If you go and look at the amateur websites, you can see for yourself, we're not talking about dodgy places where women are dragged into dungeons against their will. We're talking about ordinary men and women in their living rooms having sex and giving every indication of really enjoying it. When we surveyed over 1,000 consumers of pornography for our book, The Porn Report, we asked them what kinds of effects has porn had on your attitudes towards sexuality. Overwhelmingly, over 90% of them thought that pornography, as far as it had effects, had positive effects. And also importantly, for a lot of people from minority sexual backgrounds, gay men, lesbians, people with sadomasochistic interests, they told us it was the first time they'd realised they weren't alone. When I hear people saying how awful it is that there's more anal sex these days, it really makes me angry. As a gay man, I'm part of a political movement that has fought for decades not to have our sexual practices dismissed as wrong or disgusting or unhealthy. When I listen to a lot of anti-porn campaigners, they seem to present this idea that the only kind of healthy sexuality, what they hold up as the ideal for young men and women, is monogamous, long-term, committed, heterosexual, vaginal sex, preferably with the lights on, looking into each other's eyes while you tell each other that you're in love, hopefully in order to make a baby. That's everything that feminism and gay and lesbian liberation has been fighting against for decades. We tried to break down that stereotype of what all relationships should be like, and it appalls me that we now have a lot of space being given in debates to people who are fighting to try and return us to the 1950s.
Alan McKee, he's a professor in creative industries at the Queensland University of Technology, and he was speaking to our reporter, Alex Mann, there. We've got a caller, Luke, on the line. Luke, you've watched a bit of porn?
Yeah, I've watched a bit over the years.
Hardcore stuff like Gail Dines is talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess, you know, the more I found over time, the more intense stuff I kept trying to find. After a while, regular variety started to get a bit boring, so I kept trying to find more extreme things.
And did you try and take that into the bedroom with your sex partners?
Yeah, I wouldn't say overtly, like in subtler ways, you know, things like being rougher, definitely, or maybe going from just, you know, a couple of fingers into a fist. Yeah, definitely.
Did the girls like that?
Yeah, mixed response, it depends. Like, there's definitely been points where it's like, no way, you know, you're not going there. And, you know, like, I was just commenting earlier about how the current partner that I've got is definitely forces me to, I guess, consider what I asked for, and if she's not into it, kind of asks me what's motivating you.
Yeah, that's interesting. Did you always ask, or did sometimes you just kind of lead into it and then realise that they weren't that into it?
Exactly. You're in the moment, you know, you go along, you're thinking that, you know, a little bit of extra juice or something more intense is going to be cool and take it to another level, make them come harder or whatever. But, you know, you can go, you know, cross that line and get into pain, I guess, on occasions.
Did you hurt somebody?
Yeah, it happens, yeah. Not, you know, dreadfully, but just enough so that it's like, hey, back off, you know? So.
And what about for you and, you know, you kind of getting enough pleasure? Did you find that you weren't having the kind of heightened experience you thought you would in real life?
No, I don't think so, because, like, there's maybe a few instances where it's like, yeah, that's kind of cool, but there's, I guess, moments where you cross that line and you hurt someone, you feel pretty bad about it. Like, I've been forced to apologise a number of times, and then you're angry at yourself because you've bugged up some good sex. So,
how did you feel in that moment when you had to apologise for going too far?
Well, I don't know, a bit, I guess, a bit pathetic, but, or it just maybe feels foolish, you know, to think that something that I thought would be cool wasn't, and that I hadn't thought it through perhaps more fully before.
Are you pulling back on how much porn you're watching now, or have you found a way to sort of keep watching it and make it work in the bedroom?
I just don't have as much interest these days. Like, I've seen some pretty disgusting shit over the years, hey? I don't really search for it much anymore. Like, I see something cool, it may suggest something, and I'll have a look. But I don't actively hunt like I did. And I've got a great relationship now with a really strong woman, and, you know, we have some good times. And we have a very natural and good expression of our love and our passion.
I'm pleased to hear it, Luke. Thanks so much for the call.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tom.
Let's hear from someone who's inside the porn industry. Fiona Patton is joining us on the show. She's the executive officer of the Eros Foundation, which represents the porn industry. She's also the president of the Sex Party. Fiona, welcome to Hack.
Thanks, Tom.
Fiona, do you think that porn can set us up to fail in the bedroom?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think most people see porn for what it is, that it's a fantasy and it's there purely to arouse you.
But surely it influences our, you know, expected experiences.
I think, you know, the vast majority of people do not, you know, get influenced by that. They don't think just because, you know, I see massive orgies that that's what I'm going to expect when I get home from work this afternoon. We use porn, the vast majority of people use porn to arouse themselves, to get turned on, to have sex. They may learn things from it, but I would hope that people are not getting their sex education from porn sites. And maybe that's something we do need to consider in this country, that we are seeing more and more. We're getting so much information during this time. There is more, you know, not just porn, there's more of everything on the internet. And maybe we need to prepare our kids for that and provide good, frank education prior to them, you know, getting onto Hustler.com.
Well, that's part of the problem is, especially for young people, maybe in their early teenage years, porn is so accessible now. Do you think that there needs to be a lot more work done around sexual education, knowing what we have access to?
Yeah, I do. I think we need to really prepare our kids for the fact that we are going to see a lot more stuff. And, you know, I agree with Alan McKee, though. When you look at what people are actually watching, and certainly when I look at the sales figures in our industry, it's not gonzo porn. It's parody spoofs. It's the big sellers like Pirates.
I mean, so what's it been like for you to hear Gail Dines on a lot of different media platforms talking about the influence of gonzo porn and how many people are using it?
You know, look, I haven't put an axe through the radio or put an axe through the TV yet. But the notion that all porn is misogynistic is absolutely false and really offensive. The fact, you know, the idea that most men watch misogynistic porn, again, absolutely false. And then I think also I get pretty upset when I hear that she's sort of giving, you know, assholes an excuse and saying that because men act like assholes, and certainly I think going back to the first person being interviewed, Tracy, that the porn made them do it, so it wasn't them, it was the porn. And I mean, that's an argument that feminists and we have been fighting for years, that consent's consent, and you can't blame the porn or the alcohol or, you know, your mother or, you know, or the Liberal Party for the way you act. You have to take responsibility.
Fiona Patton, thanks for joining us on Hack.
Thank you.
The government's proposal goes too far. It's unnecessarily broad and it's going to block a lot of valuable material.
Linda Carlisle is still with us. She's a sexologist. Now, Linda, you've heard all of this discussion, but what do you say to people when they are in this situation where porn is totally disrupting their sex life?
Well, I mean, sex is about two people. So if one person isn't having a great time and doesn't feel like they're in control of what's happening in the bedroom, then that's got to be an issue. So I think that because we've become focused much more on performance rather than pleasure, that has created a real shift. And I think that it's really important to for women to be more assertive sexually and to say what they actually want, what they don't want, and to also have ideas themselves so that they can bring things into the bedroom to try, to see what it feels like, and to take some responsibility for the pleasure of sex and not just be, I guess, a receptive partner that's having things done to them.
It's interesting you say that because of the gender roles that are sort of portrayed in this discussion. You know, essentially Gail is often portraying women as victims and men as perpetrators of unusual and uncomfortable sexual acts. Do you think that's slightly problematic?
Yeah, I don't buy the women as victims line at all. I think that women have a responsibility for their own pleasure, just as men have a responsibility as well. I mean, the example with anal sex, that it's either all or nothing, and in actual fact, porn anal sex is probably a 10 out of 10 on the scale, whereas if you had anal pleasuring or anal play that's a 1 out of 10, that might be something that's really pleasurable. So you're watching elite athletes that are trained to do the most crazy, outlandish things because they're trying to sell. So
yeah. Okay, Linda, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
My pleasure, Matt.
And that's all we have time for on the show today. A few texts coming in. One says, my girlfriend encourages me to be rougher. We are actually on the way to buy handcuffs right now. Thanks so much for that one. That's all we have time for today. Thanks for all your calls and texts. Catch you tomorrow.